On today's Technobabble, why video lighting is worth the trouble.
This is Technobabble, your weekly source for church video and graphics news, perspectives, tips, and tricks. And now here's your host, Paul Clifford.
Hi, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of Technobabble. My name is Paul Allen Clifford, and I'm your host, and I'd love for you to join the conversation. So head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact, and there you can support the show for as little... Head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact, and you can contact the show. That's what it is. Contact the show. And you can leave a message. You can do that right below the video, of course, whether you're watching this on YouTube or on the site. Or you can drop a line, paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com. Phone number 1-877-763-3246 or 1-877-POD-ECHO, same number. Or head over to Twitter, Paul Allen Cliff, PaulAllanCliff. And you can leave your comments there as well. Tomorrow is the question and answer show, so I'll be answering at least a few questions from those of you in the audience, so tune in for that. By the way, if you haven't subscribed already to this show has been going since 2005. I'm coming up on the 9-year anniversary of this show, so that will be July of 2014 is the 9-year anniversary, and so that's pretty cool. Maybe I'll play some outtakes from the first show. That would be, I suppose, at least a little interesting. So if you haven't subscribed, it's free, and you don't have to remember to download the show, so head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/subscribe, or... if you've already subscribed, it would be very helpful to me if you went and left a review on iTunes. trinitydigitalmedia.com/iTunes reviews. Those are the short links that'll take you there. Now I have the audio and the video podcast, so hopefully soon I'll have them both in iTunes. But right now, just audio, soon video, the video you can subscribe to right now. So that's pretty cool as well, I believe. So let's get started talking about lighting. Now, if you're listening to the audio, I want you to take a look at the cover art for this particular episode, because this will be interesting to you. This is a shot that I took last week, just kind of on a lark. But if you are not, I'll show it to you live in just a minute. So this is prompted by, first, I was on a Google Hangout about a week ago today where we talked about lighting, and ironically, I forgot to turn on the video lighting that I have here in the studio. So at first, my lighting was bad, and then I stepped over and turned it on. Well, since I've rigged up a little remote so I can, if I forget, I can reach over here, so that's straight in front of me. If I move to my left, your right, I have a remote that'll do it. So a little later, I'll shut that off and show you the difference between the video lighting that I have set up especially for this and the overhead light, which I've left on, so you might see a little additional shine on my forehead, but just the difference between those is striking. I've got a friend who is a freelance videographer, and since that's what he concentrates on, he's a little more successful in it than I am. I'm concentrating on helping out those of you in the church, so I'm not quite there yet. But he talks about how great it is that his look, his preferred method, is shooting with available light. Now, I'm not against that. I think that shooting with available light can get you some dramatic effects, but I also think that sometimes what that actually is, and I'm not saying anything about my friend, I'm just saying I've worked with people in the past where they say, no, I just shoot with available light. And what they mean is, I just am too lazy to set up the lights. And that's no good. You need to take the time and effort to shoot with good lighting. Now, that might mean just positioning your subject a little bit differently. It might mean making sure that you don't have too much backlight. It might mean using a reflector if you're outside. It might mean waiting a little longer to shoot outside or getting up a little earlier to shoot outside because there are better times for shooting outside. Within an hour of sunrise and within an hour of sunset, those are called the golden hour. That's where you don't get harsh shadows like you would in the middle of the day. And the lighting is softer and more beautiful. So really, a lot of movies that are shot outside are shot during those super early morning times or the in the evening times when it's nearly sunset. So there's actually a picture I shot of my family on the beach a couple years ago. And we got up early because we were leaving early that morning. Well, I got up a little earlier and took them out onto the beach to shoot that shot. And I think that it turned out well. So that is kind of what I would suggest to you is don't settle for the light just as it is. Do some work to do it. Now, I don't want to say ideally, but under a lot of circumstances, the best way to fix this is with three-point lighting. I've talked about three-point lighting in the past, and basically the idea behind three-point lighting is that you have a main light, which we call the key light. If you look at my face, you'll see that there is more light on the left side of your screen. I have to hold up my right hand. The left side of your screen and a little less on the right. So the key light is hitting me right here on this side of my face. So it's kind of simulating what it would be like if I was outside and the sun was over here. In fact, you can kind of see it on my hand if you're watching the video that there's a lot of light on that hand. Now, by contrast, if you look at the other hand, which is my left hand, but it's on the right side of the screen, you see that it's illuminated, but it's not illuminated as well as the other hand is. So I have a key light, which is my main light. I've got a fill light, which is still lit, but it's less so. And then I have a backlight. The backlight is back here, shooting towards the back of my head. You'll see that they're right there. If I cover up how that there's light that hits me towards the back of my head, separating me from the background. Now, I could absolutely light the background as well, but given all the other light I have, it seems to be doing a good job. Under certain circumstances, you can do a lot with how you shape the light and the places you put it. So that is kind of just a basic overview of lighting. Now I want to show you, because I really think that showing is better than telling. So if you're listening to the audio, look at the album art, because I've got a picture of this where I have two sides of my face, one side that is with the overhead light and one side that is with the studio lights. And this is what it looks like when I turn off the video lights. Just a second. Okay, now my camera has changed. So I have turned off the overhead lights, and you'll notice that the whiteboard behind me is still adequately lit because white reflects light. You'll also see that there's a shine on my forehead right in here. That's because that's kind of the direction that the overhead light is coming from. But you'll see that I look very dark. It looks like I kind of accidentally shot this. Same camera, same microphone, everything's in the same place, but it's just how I light it. And I think that this does not look as professional. This doesn't look like I'm trying to shoot a video. This looks like I just happen to have my webcam on. So I turn that back on, and look, there's much more light on me. And these are compact fluorescents, so they actually warm up a little bit and steadily we'll get back to the lighting that we were on. So I want you to think about that when you're lighting for video. Now, our eyes have better dynamic range. What do I mean by that? Dynamic range is the space between very brightly lit and very dimly lit. So with your eyes, you can still make out stuff. Like if you were here in person, and if you were sitting, it would be a little awkward because you'd be sitting on my desk looking at me. But let's just play along, shall we? Let's imagine I didn't have a wall behind my desk and you were looking over the monitor at me. If that was the case, when I turned off the light, you probably, if you didn't have the studio light to compare to, you probably wouldn't notice the difference. It's because cameras have a low dynamic range that this matters so much. Now, they're working on ways to fix this. Eventually, I think that it'll be the case where what you see with your eye is what the camera sees, but right now, it's not. So, we've done a lot of work in recent years on resolution, and we're getting to the point, before too long, where depending on the display, more resolution won't help whatsoever. Once you get past 4K, for showing it in a living room, you don't need more resolution because your eye can't see it, unless you have a huge screen. Now, if you're screen takes up an entire wall and doesn't have anything in front of it, then that's perfectly okay. You know, you'd see fine with that. But if you've got, say, a 42-inch screen and you're sitting 20 feet, 4K isn't going to make as much of a difference as standard definition to 1080p did. You remember seeing that and thinking, wow, that's incredible. Well, you won't see as much a difference, even though it's twice the resolution, because our eyes just can't resolve as well. I think one of the new things that they're going to be working on more is dynamic range. And there will be a time where what you shoot with your camera equals what you see with your eye. And then the art of it will be much more subtle in the things that you can do. And you might have to put on a ton more light onto a white background to wash it out. You might have to do all kinds of stuff like that. But right now, the reason that we light for video is because of the dynamic range of the camera. It's actually in real life a very, very subtle difference that you probably couldn't even see between the well-illuminated side of my face and the darker side of my face. But because of the camera, this is why we do it. So when you're lighting in your church, it could be, if you don't shoot video, that you, as you're looking, don't see any reason to light differently. The moment you bring in a camera, though, it will change. I was talking to a guy from a church, I believe in Texas, and their church has been set up this way since the 80s, and no one had any problem with the lighting whatsoever until they brought in projectors, and then they also brought in a camera, because one of the things, they're part of a small church where they've got one pastor for more than one congregation, so what they've decided to do is stream the service from one location to other locations. And as they do that, the camera just can't handle it, because the background behind was always brighter than the pastor's face was, but their eyes couldn't tell it. Now a camera can, so the people in the other campuses see this difference, and it's problematic to them. So that's why we light. That's why I recommended professional stage lights for him, and he was surprised that if you buy used, it can be pretty inexpensive, just a couple hundred dollars to add the stage lights that he needed to make a huge impact. And so that's actually what I want you to do, is make a huge impact as you're going out and changing eternity. Till next time, this is Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com. Technobabble and all the TrinityDigitalMedia.com, ChurchTechCast.com shows are generously provided for by viewers like you. Thank you. Head over to Patreon.com/PaulAllenCliff, that's Patreon.com/PaulAllenCliff. You can support the show for as little as $1 a month. Thank you. Every little bit helps.